Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. It is Super Bowl week. It is also National Letter of Intent week, which means a lot of college football and high school football recruiting news will take place this week in our great state. We're very much looking forward to having Jay Feely on today's show. Jay will be in Tampa at the Super Bowl with CBS. He'll be on the sidelines. He's with Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, and Tracy Wolfson. He's the fourth man in the group. And what if Jim got COVID or Tony got COVID, and would Jay have to jump in the chair? How do they go about preparing? Are they even allowed to be together in person? Yeah, we'll talk about the game, but I think seeing one of the faces, and of course, Jay, a Valley resident, it'll be good to catch up with Jay Feely here in a few minutes. He's also a big golfer, and so Patrick Reed, I'm sure, is in his wheelhouse. We have plenty of news and notes to get to. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. Had a very good weekend. I saw where Spurge was everywhere, so Jordan is with us now. So let me get this straight. You went to two Arizona State games. You went to a Grand Canyon game where they actually allowed fans, so I want to start there. Did you feel safe at GCU? Were they masked up? Were they following protocols and all that?
Yeah, I felt safe. I think it was 900 fans they let in at GCU, and for the most part, everyone was wearing masks. The only time I saw masks coming down was the fans yelling at a ref. Outside of that, the masks were pretty much on. You know, there's going to be a few kids that just are going to completely ignore it and are going to get lost in the crowd. But overall, they're doing a great job. I mean, obviously, we don't know what the numbers and stuff are there, but they seem to have it under control, at least from being there at that game.
Okay, so you saw Pac-12 basketball in person. You saw ASU against Cal, you saw ASU against Stanford, and then you saw WAC basketball with GCU. What would you, if you're describing the level of competition or just the level of basketball, is there a big difference between what you see Pac-12 and WAC, or is it just, Brad, it's basketball?
Honestly, it's just basketball. I know there's a little bit more talent in the Pac-12, but the overall brand of basketball I thought looked better on the court at GCU. I mean, New Mexico State is a great program. GCU is up and coming, and they're playing great basketball right now, first place. So the actual, like, ins and outs, the X's and O's of the game, they play way more sound than ASU or some of the other Pac-12 teams I've seen so far. Yeah. I know the Pac-12 teams kind of win on talent, and that's why ASU was able to beat GCU barely. They just won on talent. But the overall basketball, I think, is better at GCU right now.
You work too much.
Yeah.
Do you golf?
Every once in a while when I got
some time. Yeah, so why have we not gone? You've been at this gig for 3 months now. Why have we not, like, chased a little white pill? Do you hike? I mean, do you have a life? All you do is just go to games. Is that it? I mean, do you have anything that you're interested in other than balls and bats and sticks and pucks and all that?
Yeah, I sneak away to the gym all the time. I go on hikes, you know, once or twice a week, just get out, whether it's all over here at A Mountain or wherever. I try to get out for a little bit. And I'm still balancing that out. I'm trying to find different ways this weekend.
Yeah.
It's definitely a long one for sure.
Yeah, well, I'm going to stay on you about it. Are you going to put any money on the Super Bowl? You're a college student. You don't have any money to put on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Other than what you make here, right?
But I don't have enough money to put on it. And in all honesty, this one's going to be probably the hardest one to call that I've seen in a long time. So I probably wouldn't put money on it, even if I had it, but no, I can't gamble right now.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. All right, get out of here. I just want to get caught up with you. See you. Stay safe.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
There's Spurge. Jay Feely is around the corner. The trade of the Rams and the Lions and what that means for the Cardinals. And now this morning, if I'm to believe, this is one of those, okay, it's being reported that the 49ers and Kirk Cousins and Shanahan and Cousins and all that stuff, you know, believe it when I see it. And then you have Deshaun Watson sitting around out there. And then the Cardinals are, you know, Kyler Murray's their guy. But as we've seen now, you can fall out of love with someone in a hurry in this league. Jay Feely is up next. He's going to be in the Super Bowl broadcast booth, or on the sidelines, I should say, in Tampa. His week ahead, his preparation in the game itself, that's on the other side. Stay with us. As promised, Jay Feely now with us for a few minutes. CBS Sports, he will be on the ground, on the sidelines for Tampa Bay and Kansas City in the Super Bowl on Sunday. And Jay, of course, Valley resident, big time golfer. So I'm going to throw you a curveball right off the top with Patrick Reed. With Patrick Reed, were you watching over the weekend? Because everybody today, they're either buzzing about the Super Bowl or Patrick Reed. Were you watching?
So let me be totally transparent with you. It was my first weekend off in 20 weeks. First weekend home in 20 weeks. I did not turn the TV on all weekend long. I was hanging with the kids and my wife and doing walks and, you know, just being with them. Went and worked with my son. We did some kicking and, you know, just – I I've seen it. I watched it online. I went on Twitter when Twitter was a buzz and, you know, kind of watched the drop. Here's the thing that stood out to me, because I did watch the Rory McIlroy play later, right, where his ball bounced and then he said it plugged. And it's very, very similar situation. And obviously, if your ball bounces, it probably isn't going to plug. And, you know, I don't know. It's much ado about nothing to me. You know, I mean, everybody gets into all the semantics of rules in golf. And I think it takes away from the game. I really do. I think there's too many archaic rules that, you know, if I hit a ball right down the middle of the fairway and I get a good shot and you hit a ball right down the middle of the fairway, the very next group, and it lands right in my divot. How is that in any way, you know, okay, you know, but all these other types of rules anyways, that's just my rant. That's my least favorite rule.
No. Well, I'm guessing that when you get together with Jim Nance, that this is going to be brought up at some point over a meal or
and something. Romo. I mean, Romo's probably more obsessed with golf than anybody I've ever met, including every PGA Tour player. So I'm sure we'll be talking about it this week.
Jay Feely with us. He will be on the sidelines for CBS for the Super Bowl, part of the broadcast, with the great crew of Jim Nance, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson, and a cast of thousands. What will your role be on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm the special teams analyst role. So, you know, I'm looking at both special teams. I'll talk to the special teams coaches and the kickers and, you know, just be ready if something happens. And if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to me, like, you got to be thinking that we have to steal possessions whenever we get an opportunity to, and whether that means, you know, on fourth down, or it means defensively, or it means on special teams, you know, that to me should be your mindset. And Bruce has always had that no risk it, no biscuit mindset. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to, you know, a fake on a fourth down or a surprise onside kick or something of that nature. You know, whenever I played against a team like the Chiefs, who were so good offensively, that had to be your mindset going into that game. And, you know, we haven't done any production meetings yet. I'm not speaking about what they've told me or anything, but that would be my mindset going into that game.
In terms of production meetings, give the fans a pullback of the curtain. How many hours of contact and interviews will you put in down there via Zoom or whatever to prep yourself for the biggest game in every year, the biggest television event every year? How much prep time, Jay?
It's so different this year, Brad, because every other year, that's probably my favorite thing, is doing the production meetings where, you know, on a Friday, you would go in and you would watch practice, and then you would meet with the home team, and you'd be in there for 3 to 4 hours and meet with the head coach, the coordinators, 4 or 5 different players, and talk about everything. And then Saturday, you'd meet with the away team when they traveled in, and then you'd call the game on Sunday. Well, you know, this year it's all Zoom because it's all virtual. So you know, we're going to do all our meetings Wednesday with one team, Thursday with the other team. It's pretty much all day. It's just not as personable when you're, you know, you're doing a Zoom, like you and I sitting here like this. It's not like sitting down in an office, looking face to face, you know, and you're certainly a little more guarded when you're doing Zoom calls than you are when you're talking to somebody face to face. And, you know, but, you know, it's different if you're the analyst. You know, if you're Tony Romo, you're studying tape all week. You're watching the offenses and the defenses, trying to figure out what they're going to do. If you're Jim Nance, you know, you're studying the names and the players and trying to be ready with the storylines and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you're studying all week long. It's a little different for me, you know, as the analyst. You know, I also, you know, I'm just always prepared. I'm going to be ready if something were to happen to Tony or something happens to our audio or whatever the case may be. You know, you got to be ready to do it. And, you know, especially this year with COVID and everything, you know, they've said like, okay, Jay, you know, be ready to be the analyst if Tony were to, you know, and test positive or something were to happen, you know, and you just don't know if that's going to happen this year.
Yeah, and same with Jim. If Jim were to come down with something the day of the game, you guys would all have to shuffle. I remember years ago when the power went out of the Super Bowl and the announcers tried to ad-lib, and if you're not able to ad-lib, it's just a rough, rough deal. And so when you're with Romo and Jim and Tracy, are you 4 together or are they quarantining you guys separate to be
not
safe?
This year. Yeah. We're not together at all. It's just it's a weird year. You're pretty much sitting in your hotel room. You know, you get to the state or you get to the state and you go and you do your COVID test right away. You know, and then you get your results, but they still want you to stay in your hotel room. They basically want you to order room service, and there's just not a lot of interaction this year.
In terms of the Buccaneers, you're very familiar with that coaching staff. Does that help you this week, or are they just the same? They're going to treat you the same on Kansas City side as Tampa's side?
I think anytime you have relationships, obviously I played for Bruce. I played for Todd Bowles on two different teams. Keith Armstrong, his special teams coach. He was my special teams coach when I was in Miami. You know, I can do my Keith Armstrong, you know, imitation. He's like, you're going to cover a kick. I don't care who you are. You're going to cover a kick, you know, like that. That's his mindset. You know, so it's kind of fun when you get those guys and you can joke around with them. And obviously Bruce worked for CBS for a year in between the Cardinals and the Bucs, and then Tom Brady, you know, and Tom and I go back all the way to, you know, his freshman year when he came in, and we were friends all 4 years in college and still friends to this day. And, you know, had many conversations when he was making that decision to leave New England before he went to Tampa Bay about coaching staffs and personnel and where he should go. And, you know, those were some interesting conversation to be in on, and just to watch what's happened. You know, I mean, I just think it speaks to his greatness. I don't think anybody who saw him at Michigan would have had any foresight that he could become the greatest quarterback of all time and be in 10 different Super Bowls. You know, it's just staggering.
Before I get you out of here, today's a big day for you as a dad. Walk me through what's happening for you as a dad today with college football.
Well, we'll see. You know, I mean, my son Jace has been recruited and he's getting offers, and, you know, he's just kind of talking to a couple teams still here, and, you know, a number of Pac-12 teams, and, you know, Wednesday's signing day. And we're kind of coming down to then it's so different this year. Like when I got recruited, you know, I went on four different recruiting trips, and they fly you in and you get to spend the whole weekend there, and you meet the coaching staff and the players, and you hang out, and, you know, you go in all the facilities, and it's really was one of the coolest things I ever got to experience. And I feel bad for all those seniors because they don't get to do it. Like you can't go to the campus. You can't meet a coach in person. You can meet them on Zoom, and you can do these Zoom experiences where they take you around and show you everything on Zoom, you know, and that's how you have to try and make your decision. So it's certainly a little tougher. They certainly lose out on some really cool experiences, but at the same time, you got to be grateful for opportunity. So we'll see where it ends up. I think, you know, we're coming down and we'll make it, not we, but my son, Jace, will make a decision soon about where his future is. And as a dad, it's cool to sit back and to watch that and to be grateful for the opportunities.
Yeah, I've seen him play once in person over Gilbert Christian, and he just did a lot. He wasn't just doing one thing. This is not, and that's great. I think that speaks
well. When you talk to these coaches and they're like, hey, I love the fact that he kids, but he hits, like he wants to get down there. And he made the all Arizona team for all classifications this year as a linebacker, which is pretty cool. And, you know, that's something I think as a coach, like, you want a guy to come in at that position and to be a competitor and to be a leader. And that's certainly what he is. And he can kind of transform that room for you.
Have a good broadcast, and best of
luck
to your dad and all of that. Stay safe, Jay, too. Thanks.
Take care, buddy.
There's Jay Feely with us, and we're back with more after this timeout. Thanks again to Jay Feely for being with us. So it's pretty cool that his son is going to walk through that whole recruiting stuff today. Wednesday is letter of intent day. Jordan Hamm has so much recruiting content that he's working on. Nico Markiol, the quarterback at Hamilton, committed to Florida State. And I had some people that sent me notes saying, you wrote in Three Dot Thoughts that you thought he was going to Florida and you were wrong. Yes, I was. I'm not predicting. I'm not doing crystal ball. It just sounded like at the time, a week and a half ago, from people around him, that Florida is where he was leaning with Dan Mullen. You know, if you're trying to figure out 17 and 18-year-olds, if your life depends on that, bad place to be in your life. Okay. So Nico's going to go there. That's fine. Is he going to return to Hamilton? I don't know. I don't know. So, and then another lineman at Hamilton, Grayson Stovall, commits. And Mark Tucker over there, their offensive line coach, does a great job. He is going to go to the University of Arizona. I know you Arizona State people love to give the whole national narrative. And I've been down this ramp before, but when you have players that have committed to the U of A. Amon Allen over at Highland, who I thought was terrific, and Grayson Stovall at Hamilton, he commits to the U of A. And both of them, again, pass on Arizona State. Arizona State has said, we are going to recruit national, and so on and so on and so on. So the narrative's already out there, guys. It is. And I've had too many high school coaches that have said, you know, you protect ASU on this, and it's simply not the case. They don't make Arizona kids the number one priority. It's hard to disagree with that. You know, it's hard to disagree with that right now. So put everything into getting the five-star guys. This guy's a five-star guy. And stars don't mean jack other than on social media. Who cares? So I don't get wound up in that nonsense. And doesn't drive, doesn't turn my crank. Win games. It's all that matters. So, but Jed Fish is recruiting Arizona. He just is. You know, I watched Patrick Reed on both Saturday and Sunday. And Patrick Reed's one of those guys that he reminds me of Danny Ainge back in the day. When Danny Ainge played, if he wasn't on your team, you hated Danny Ainge. It's just a fact. Danny Ainge walked in without playing on the Suns. He's just one of those guys that you just looked at and said, man, I can't stand that guy. And then he's on your team. He's like, yeah, it's my guy. It's my guy. Manu Ginobili was like that. You know, there's just certain guys that that here in Phoenix, I just don't like that guy. Well, Patrick Reed is that on the tour. And I kind of like Patrick Reed because he has this. I'm not saying I liked what he did the other day, but I like how he just has a, I don't give a bleep. I'm going to walk out there and I'm going to play. And I'm, by the way, I'm going to crush everybody. Yesterday was no contest. It was Aaron Oberhauser who put on Twitter around the 15th hole. You know, that this thing is over. I'm going to go, you know, tighten my bike chain or something. Like, and it was just methodical that he went out of his way to win, and everybody's crushing him on social media for what they perceived as a cheat. And whether players are talking poorly and badly behind the scenes, which it sounds like they were yesterday and Saturday, I just know a guy like that that steps up and just runs away with it, that's something else. So it was fun to watch. It really was. Spring training is going to get pushed back, it sounds like. And I'm okay with that because I look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is all these tourism dollars that aren't in our state, to miss another spring of that, because last year they pulled up stakes where people are laying off people right and left. So I'm okay with this morning. If they decide for sure, for 100% certain that they're going to push back, I'm all in favor of that because I want people in our hotel rooms. In fact, if April ends up being a month where there's spring training here, weather will be nicer. Yeah, maybe a little bit warm. So what? Hotel rooms will fill up. If they start towards the end of March, there's still spring break that they can grab onto. Guys, I know the sports part's important. It's not as important as our state having economic recovery. It just isn't. And if you want to put on your ball cap backwards with four of your bros and you want to go out and play golf and go watch baseball in spring training and do it where they're open to more than just 20 fans, 40 fans, no fans, then just be patient on this. There's no reason on this. Now, baseball, the players are saying, and I'm always on the players' side. I am. But in this case, when the players are saying, well, we don't want to play doubleheaders because the season will start later, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I really don't. And these are not porcelain dolls that are out there. If you're playing a doubleheader every 2 to 3 weeks to make up for the season being pushed back, seriously, what is the harm here? What is the harm here? You have to look at what is best for society. What is best for society? Is it just, we got to get our baseball in, we got to get it now? Or is it safer, whether you're on the vax side, non-vax side? Let's just go through the process and look at things and say, let's push back. I have no problem with March Madness, for instance, being in Indianapolis this year. Everything's going to be in one central location. Not the greatest city in the world, in my opinion, to host a major event. Fine enough. I'm not going to sit there and bitch and moan and whine about it. I'm just not. I'm not sure if the Pac-12 tournament should take place in Vegas in 3 weeks or the WAC tournament taking place in Vegas over at the Orleans in 3 weeks. I'm not sure that that should happen. We're still too fresh in all of this with the vaccine rolling out. So For me, there's things that are just bigger than the game itself. I have no problem with the NFL playing the Super Bowl this Sunday. I have no problem with them allowing 7,500 people that have been on the front lines and working through COVID. And I think it's terrific. I think it's great. I think it'll be fun for the country to have a distraction for a few hours. That's what sports is meant to be. But let's be smart and do it within reason. That's all. All right. The chairman of the board here is Jed Nielsen. Steve Burney gets involved in this show occasionally, and we appreciate that. And, of course, Jordan Spurgeon. The show repeats over and over and over. Have a great Monday.